So it's been the big story of the day, and it's been the big news of the day. Obviously, we're getting to the offensive line implications of all this, but I haven't really been able to decipher from Kevin Stefanski what direction he's going and what I've resolved on when it comes to Deshaun Watson playing on Saturday or not. I just think he hasn't made up his mind yet. So how can we read him? How can we read into anything? When the reality is, I just don't think he knows. I don't think he's come to a conclusion yet. I don't think that's alarming, though. I think he just likes to take his time, go through what's out there, and then go from there.
No, I think that's a fair way to put it. I don't know that he has made his mind up at this point. There's a lot of things that are going to factor in between now and game time. Number one, who's going to play on that line?
Nah.
And where are they going to play?
I keep bringing a Fetty up, and it gets you disappointed every single time. I mean, he's the guy in line, right? I believe he'd be the starting left tackle if the game was played. The game will be played. I mean, if the game was played tomorrow. I hate that I want him to have a decision made, but he gets – and he's right.
He might already have the decision made and just is not telling anybody.
Well, but he's afforded the right to be able to sit on it and to be able to sit back.
He is.
You know? I mean, listen, I don't love the idea. He came on here. He said it was his call. I don't love that it's his call. I know you said when you played in the league, it was always the coach's call, and you just kind of go with it. I don't love that. Listen, I know you guys always make fun of me, but for my bowling scholarship, and I get that. That's right. You got a right to make fun of me for that. It's not a very serious sport, and I got a scholarship for it. But, you know, it did pay for my college, okay? So, like, and I'm not going to relate my bowling or anything like that to playing in the NFL, but the reality is that I knew in any given instance how my body felt. Like, I knew if my body felt good, if it felt bad. You knew if your body felt good, if your body felt bad.
Of course.
And so with Deshaun Watson, I don't know. I just feel like that should be his call at the end of the day. And it's not about him making $230 million, it's about getting him comfortable to be able to do the job that he's being asked to do.
Yeah.
And maybe that's unfair of me, but I look at Aaron Rodgers in New York and I see Aaron Rodgers emphatically shutting down the idea that preseason football matters at all, and emphatically just wasting away that preseason football is even worth our eyeballs and the attention that it's put on it. And I'm like, maybe he's got a point. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's got a point, too, talking about how he likes to play preseason football because he wants to get hit. Now, we can talk about Andy Reid. The man's won two Super Bowls, back-to-back Super Bowl champion. I'm fairly confident he makes the call. I'm fairly confident he's the one that makes that decision in whether or not Patrick Mahomes is playing in those games. Patrick's along for the ride. Maybe Patrick makes that decision if all of a sudden Patrick tweaks an ankle and can't play in the regular season. But it's just there's a million different ways that you could do this. In my opinion, I think it should go down to what the quarterback wants and what the quarterback believes. But Stefanski sat right across from us 5 feet away and said, it's my call at the end of the day.
And I don't know anybody out there. I mean, you don't believe him?
That it's his call?
Yeah.
I believe it's his call.
Okay. But you want it to be the quarterback's call?
I want it to be Deshaun's call. I think Deshaun knows his body best, and I think Deshaun knows what he has to do in order to get ready. And I feel like if Deshaun is worried about the tackle situation, or if he's worried he's going to have to run for his life, or worried about anything at all, could be something as stupid as worried about headset communication during the game. I don't care. If he's worried about anything, he should be able to say, I'm worried about this, and I want to go ahead and while I have the practice opportunities against people that want to tear my head off, I want to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I understand sometimes, you know, football players, you guys just want to get out there. And you guys, sometimes you do need guardrails. Sometimes you do need people in your life to sit back and say, hey, you're not, this isn't great. You don't need to do this. It's like me at the gambling tables at the casino, right? I need my wife to sit there and be like, listen, you're down a couple hundred already. We don't need to go any deeper in this one. I know you think you got a strategy with craps. It's not working out. Let's go ahead and do something else. Like, sometimes you need people, despite whatever your best judgment is, to step in and say, your best judgment isn't it. You don't have it. But when it comes to Deshaun, in a season that is so pivotal for himself, I feel like if Deshaun didn't play and then he felt uneasy in the first quarter against the Cowboys for whatever reason, I feel like that's not great. And I feel like if I'm Deshaun and I can wipe away that uncomfortable feeling by getting out there and playing in the game, then he needs to get out there and play in the game. And I don't love that Stefanski is the one that makes that call.
I don't agree with you. I mean, the only thing I agree with is Stefanski should ask Deshaun, hey, man, how do you feel? And Deshaun should be honest about how he feels. But if there is a reason other than my body doesn't feel well, Deshaun's playing in the game. if Stefanski wants him to.
Oh, yeah. In my world, I'm not playing with the idea that, and maybe I just haven't explored this, I'm playing with the idea that Deshaun wants to be out there. So maybe I'm playing at this wrong. Maybe, because I can hear it. I think you're taking this from the perspective of...
I don't want the player to be above the
if
team.
If Deshaun says no, that's the end of the conversation then. And I understand that. I do. I understand why you would think that is problematic. I still maintain if Deshaun thinks to himself, you got a left tackle I don't trust out there, and it isn't great, and I just don't feel safe out there for whatever reason. Again, I think it's the quarterback's call. I feel like the quarterback in that situation, almost like they say like dogs can sense certain danger or something like that. Like if something's in the air and he's like, I sense this isn't going to go well for me, and I've been playing long enough to know, then I feel like he's afforded that right and that opportunity. I feel like if that's what he says, then I think Stefanski would be wise to adhere that advice.
Yeah.
Now, again, maybe this is just Stefanski feeling like, I've been here for 5 years now. I want to feel like I have the power and the say. And ultimately, he'll just ask Deshaun what he wants to do, and that'll be the end result. And if Deshaun says he can go, and they might take this thing up until game time, where Deshaun is like, I'm feeling good, I feel bad, I feel one way or another, and then that's your end result, and then that's your end result, and that's okay too.
I can't believe we're so worked up over something that's... It's going to be like 8 plays.
It is.
And then we're going to get through it, and Deshaun's going to be fine. He's going to throw 4 passes
and complete 2
of them and 4 handoffs. And we're going to be like, really? We got this worked up for this?
Conversely, what happens if he goes out there and then the season is over because he's, ends up getting destroyed by a defender wanting to tear his head off and Effetti couldn't block for him?
That's concerning.
That would be concerning. And it being Stefanski's call and what he told us, he's the one that would have to sit there at the podium and understand. We talk about this being a season that is for Deshaun Watson and a season that his whole livelihood depends on what happens this season. Even though Kevin Stefanski got an extension, Kevin Stefanski still has a lot riding on this season. And if you believe certain hosts in Pittsburgh, like Andrew Filippone on the First and Pod podcast, he believes that this season is make or break for Kevin Stefanski. Like, he believes that if this doesn't go well, Stefanski's out of a job. And so there's a lot riding on a lot of different areas. And, yeah, if he did have something go horribly wrong, at least we have the audio to know that it's Stefanski's call, not Deshaun Watson's call. So we know who to sit up there and blame at the podium, I guess.
Nothing's going to happen, man.
I know. You think it'll be fine? I think it'll be fine, too. I do. I think your room for error against the Cowboys isn't as great if he doesn't end up playing, though. Like I think if they start off, but man, I worry about little things like whether or not the offense is going to be hitting full stride right away. I had people earlier today suggesting that the offense can just kind of ease into the season and take their time, and I'm like, in what world? I know you have 17 games this year. It's different. You do have a couple games you can lose, but you said earlier in the show, Dustin, 11 games is what you need to make it into the postseason, you believe?
Correct.
Well, we got to get to 11. You can't just be throwing games away.
I think you need to get to maybe 12 to guarantee yourself a spot. So, yeah. If Deshaun gets hurt, the season's over, right?
Well, that's what some people would have said last year, and then they still made it to the postseason. I don't agree with those people in that, yeah, they won 11 games and they made it to the postseason. But when you took on Houston, you were favored. Mm-hmm. But if you would have done what Houston did and then took on Baltimore the week after, we weren't beating Baltimore that week. There was no way. Even if we took care of business against C.J. Stroud, which would have been tough, there was no way we were beating Baltimore
right. In
that next game. I mean, it just the AFC is too good. Jameis Winston isn't taking you deep into the postseason. But, again, I don't know. Maybe they go out there and I don't even want to play with that world. I don't want to play in that world. That would just be a disastrous world to play in. Brian Hoyer on the morning show talked about the offensive line as we had more out of Kevin Stefanski on what exactly they're doing to prep up this team and get them all ready for the season getting underway in just a couple weeks. Here we go.
Yeah, I'd say that's fine. I would just, if I'm the play caller, I'm coming up with plays that protects the left side of the line. Maybe it's a rollout to the right. Maybe you're chipping the defensive end. I think, they're dealing with a similar situation here in New England. Who's going to be the left tackle? Who's going to be the right tackle? And the thing that I learned, we talked about all the coaches that I played for, there's really a lot of ways you can help a tackle. There's not so many ways you can help a center, a guard. But the tackles, I mean, I know in Cleveland we had such a great one for a long time, we didn't even have to worry about that. But, I've played in a lot of schemes, a lot of teams that maybe we didn't have a top 10 tackle. But you figure out ways to protect the guy, whether that's chips, whether that's aligning the tight end and giving help. You know, so if Deshaun wants to play, I would say, great, we'll come up with a game plan for 10, 15 plays, you know, quick game. We're going to roll you out to the right. We're going to chip the left end. I think that's totally doable. If your quarterback needs those reps, then you figure out a way to protect that left side.
He is good, isn't he? Brian Hoyer, he's good.
Excellent.
He's good. He's going to be really good.
That's maybe why quarterbacks are the all the top analysts in football.
Oh, you sound jealous there.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You sounded like he's good. Quarterbacks, they're the household names.
I'm being a little sarcastic, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Kevin Stefanski joined us. He talked about the offensive line situation, and this is what he had to say.
You know, I think different guys would probably have different answers for you. I've been around, I mean, think of Joel. Joel's played left tackle for us in games going back to a couple years. Jed was a right tackle in college, went over to the left side. So I think it depends on the guy. Some guys find it really easy to shift in from tackle to guard. Some guys think it's a completely new world, even though it's about 38 inches. I think with any position, as you guys can imagine, you look at all of it. You look at the whole thing in totality and you say, what's best for us when it comes to the 2024 season, a 17-game season. And if you earn some more games, it gets longer. So for us, we'll look at every option we have when it comes to the tackle situation. But I like where we are. I like the guys that we have. I like how we're working hard to get guys back.
I do, Dustin. I do like the idea that they might put Jack Onklin there on the left side, even though it's been a little bit. I like the idea. I like the thought process behind it. I still worry about what would happen week one against Dallas because they just have too good of pass rushers. But I wouldn't make a mountain out of a molehill in that situation. I would just understand that it's not going to be the greatest thing we've ever seen. But, yeah, like if Conklin can do it and he looks formidable, I think it's your best set. I think it's your best lineup.
Most likely it is. Conklin, would you agree he's the best tackle on the team? I mean, DeJuan Jones is good. Maybe he's a little bit better, at right tackle than he is at left tackle. But Conklin's really good. And
yeah.
I'm sure he's been working on some stuff in practice for the coaches to feel confident enough to put him there.
I would think so.
Or in the past. I know he's hurt now, but I'm saying
at some point they've gone down that road. 22 games in 3 years. The worry you have with Conklin, you're right. Conklin's great. No one's questioned whether or not he's great. When they acquired him from Tennessee, all you kept thinking about was how awesome he is. A perennial Pro Bowler, he was consistently at the top of the league at the right tackle spot. The question you've always had with Conklin is whether or not he could stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about this offensive line is that that's the only questions we continue to ask ourselves. Is like, did they prepare themselves the right way in going after Jed Wills, who gets healthy, DeJuan Jones, who we didn't have much experience with, but DeJuan Jones, who got injured last year, and then Conklin, who now for three straight seasons now, it's been a question mark about whether or not he will play or won't play. And so you're putting a lot of eggs in the Jack Conklin basket. One, it's just a lot of variables. Like, one, can he play left tackle to begin with because he hasn't done it since college? And then number two, can he actually stay healthy? If he becomes your Jed Wills replacement for the time being, can he actually stay healthy? Now, there's another spin of this. Maybe it's awesome. Maybe he's great at it. Maybe he doesn't miss a beat. Maybe switching from the right side to the left side just comes like it's just awesome and it's great and it's easy. And then DeJuan Jones, it frees you up to play on the right side. And then you tell Jed Wills to just kind of sit back and hang out on the sidelines in case you need him. And then that becomes the ultimate beginning of the end for Jed Wills. And then you move forward with the team with what it is. Like, there is an upside to all of this that could occur. Why am I saying that funny?
I don't know.
Must be the outdoors. A core. Why is that funny? That doesn't sound right. But there's an upside.
It does not sound right.
There's an upside here that can occur. There we go. Maybe?
Occur?
Why aren't you helping me out here?
Because I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to say what you just said right there.
Occur?
Occur. Occur.
Like, when did that occur?
I talk for a living.
There we go.
Yeah.
I promise we're not drunk out here. They wouldn't let us drink. If they did, that would be a different time here in Berea. It's warm, but it's not that warm. All right. Anyway, you ready to talk receivers?
Sure.
There are two that drastically impact the Browns and the upcoming season. There's one in Dallas, and there's one in Cincinnati. Both are potentially in a unique situation. We'll talk about what the holdout potentially means, and in one case, the hold in when we come on back. It's Afternoon Drive right here on the Fence. In the way of two situations that I think directly impact the Browns, and in different ways. And I think we know which one impacts it the most. I think Ja'Marr Chase impacts the conversation way more than than CeeDee Lamb does. But the reality is that CeeDee Lamb is still – you're still taking him on in week one. And we talked about how great this Cowboys team is as in regards to the regular season. Even though they are losing two different pieces of their offensive line and things are a little bit different, I'll tell you right now, Dustin, though, I trust – no one outside of CeeDee Lamb when it comes to their offense and the pass catching, job. Like it's Brandon Cooks is fine. They got nothing. If you want to go up and down the Browns roster and be like, oh, can Jerry Jeudy get the job done? Can Elijah Moore? They would kill for an Elijah Moore Dallas Cowboys. Okay, like they just don't have it. And so I think it's fascinating today. I think one of the bigger storylines across the national media was the idea that CeeDee Lamb. Because we do this on Instagram, right? This is how people express themselves. Came out and he did the Tobey Maguire from Spider-Man, where Tobey Maguire then is, he turns into Black Spider-Man, which is supposed to signify like a villain version of himself. I don't know. It's been a long time since Tobey Maguire was even Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's, it's not my jam. Is it your, do you like Spider-Man?
I don't really watch any of those like superhero movies. I mean, I like Batman, but not really, I wasn't really into the Marvel stuff.
I don't really do it either, if I'm being honest about it. I think they're cool, I guess. Like, people like them. I'm not gonna like crap all over them.
Yeah.
But it's also not. It's not something that I really get into. Kayla says the name is Venom.
It's Venom.
Okay.
It's when Venom takes over his suit.
Okay. So anyway, so he's telling the world that he is now being he's gonna become the villain, basically. And if what that means is he sits out and doesn't play week one against the Browns, I don't buy it necessarily. But Chris Jones sat out week one and then still got his money. In fact, sitting out week one worked great for Chris Jones last year with Kansas City. Sat out, missed the Lions game, very important game, and then turned around and made top-tier money. So this was Ocho Cinco on Adam Schefter's podcast talking about Ja'Marr Chase as the two of them are both, one's doing a hold-in and one's doing a hold-out. Here we go.
Ja'Marr's deal will get done probably sometime this week. Oh, definitely before the season starts. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. I just know because I'm sure Joe Burrow will probably grow frustrated at some point not having his top receiver out there. Burton is good. Higgins is good. But that offense isn't complete unless, you know, he's out there.
If for some reason this deal doesn't get done this week or this season.
He's not touching the field.
He's not touching the field.
He's not touching the field. This is one of the certain players, you know, they can separate their love for the game in business. If it was me, I'd have been out there practicing. Deal or no deal. I don't care. But on the business side of things, Ja'Marr, his team, they understand now. And this is the only way to get deals done. CeeDee Lamb is doing the same thing.
Heading into 2021, three wideouts are making $20 million plus annually. There's four pass catchers collecting at least $30 million this year. Dustin, the money's exploded. And I don't know. If you're CeeDee Lamb, if you're Ja'Marr Chase, maybe you wonder if the money is going to keep being there. But I've told you my top three wideouts. I believe I've told you them before. Mm-hmm. I think it's Justin Jefferson. I think it's Tyreek Hill. I think it's Ja'Marr Chase. CeeDee Lamb's knocking on the doorstep of that. He led the league in receptions. He was second in receiving yards. He was third in receiving touchdowns. Like, he should be in the family photo of best wide receivers in the game. Both of them are definitely in the family photo together. It seems odd, though. Like, with Ja'Marr Chase, if he could miss week one. CeeDee Lamb, if they could miss week one. This might just be the new NFL, but I don't buy that either one of them won't be on the field for week one.
Yeah, I don't really buy it either. What was the cryptic tweet thing or whatever for CeeDee Lamb?
It was him being Venom.
Oh, that was, I mean, okay, that now it makes sense.
Yeah, like he's the villain now. Like
I don't think he wants to be the villain, does he?
I don't think anybody wants to be the villain.
Well, LeBron did it for a minute.
Yeah, LeBron didn't even know what he wanted at that point. LeBron thought he wanted to be the villain.
Well, CeeDee Lamb's
he became the villain
Lamb's
and realized.
On his rookie contract.
Yeah, he realized it's not fun being the villain.
Do you think that CeeDee Lamb understands what it's like to be the villain? No.
Unless you're in like wrestling, like pro wrestling, I don't think you want to be the villain. What's the Logan Paul when he came and did the SummerSlam or whatever?
Which Paul is it?
I think, is it Logan or is it Jake? I think Logan's the one that actually wrestles, right?
Logan.
Jake? Yeah, Keith is saying Jake.
How about the Paul kid?
I think he wants to be a villain. I think he's like the only person in the world that like is signing up to be a villain at this point. Not many people want to be the villain. You think CeeDee Lamb really wants to be the bad guy here?
I don't.
I think he just wants to get paid. I think he knows that the market is as hot as it's ever going to be. And the Cowboys offered him $33 million a year. As I just said, led the league in reception, second in receiving yards, third in receiving touchdowns. That's $2 million a year away from Justin Jefferson money. Like, it's not a slap in the face, but it's obviously not Justin Jefferson money. And you know it better than anybody. Sometimes it's not even about the dollar amount. It's about the prestige attached to the dollar amount and what the respect is attached to making you the number one paid wide receiver in the NFL. And if you're Ja'Marr Chase or CeeDee Lamb, you have to believe you've earned that. I mean, there's a world out there where I'm sure Ja'Marr Chase lays his head down at night and thinks to himself, Joe Burrow wouldn't be me if not for me. You know, like Joe Burrow was a kid at Ohio State, didn't get much of an opportunity. Mm-hmm. He goes to LSU. He's with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, wins the national title. Great. All right. Year one in the NFL. How'd it go for Joe Burrow? He got injured after a pretty lackluster season, but then he ended up injured. Year two, gets Ja'Marr Chase. He's in the Super Bowl. Like, there's a world out there where Ja'Marr Chase thinks he's the straw that stirs the drink.
Sure.
He thinks he's the guy and the reason why, and I don't blame him.
The guy and the reason why.
I don't blame him. It's like I'm doing a promo now all of a sudden. But I don't blame him. I don't blame him for thinking that he's part of that reason. CeeDee Lamb knows, for the Cowboys' sake, he knows that offense is screwed if they don't have CeeDee Lamb on the field. You think Dak's going to throw for 5,000 yards, throwing to Brandon Cooks and a bunch of guys?
No.
No chance. They have no running game to begin with anyway. Got apologies to Zeke.
Yeah, I was going to say, you going to apologize to the Buckeyes?
You haven't been good in 4 years. You're not. I'm sorry. They have the worst running group in the entire NFL, mixed with the idea that their offense is Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb, and what happens. Like, if I'm CeeDee Lamb, I think you get to control whatever you want. If I'm Ja'Marr Chase, even though the owner, as Paul Bulgett, come out and said, we're not paying you until next year, push it as far as you can. It worked for Chris Jones last year, but this could only work out in the favor of the Browns, because week one might be the whole entire holdout if you're CeeDee Lamb. And then Jerry is going to have to go into his pocketbook, get out some money, and make it all happen. And then with the Browns, at least in the meanwhile, you've had some dysfunction that is being caused. Mm-hmm. And then Ja'Marr Chase, if he ends the holdout, all right, fine. If he doesn't, again, complete chaos. Absolute chaos. I can't imagine him not playing week one, though.
Boy, I hope there's the drama of this, like, the week leading into the opener. I want the talk not to be about the Browns and Cowboys. I want it to be about CeeDee Lamb.
I feel like it's going to be.
Give me the drama.
This is the drama. Like, this is it. You want it to just carry on for another week or so? Because the other side of this is, if they get a deal done and they pay him $36 million a year, well, then he gets the respect, then he gets everything that he wants and is attached to, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's good times in Dallas. It's good. It's a good feel story. Because there is the idea out there that Jerry Jones is just doing this all for the attention. Like, Jerry loves the Cowboys being a national topic. Yeah. Jerry loves when the Cowboys are relevant. And Jerry sometimes makes disastrous decisions based off of his thirst to stay in the limelight, and maybe this is one of them. Maybe they'll get to the one-yard line right before the season gets underway, and then, boom, there's a big-time deal. But if I'm CeeDee Lamb, this past month has been hell trying to get what you're worth. So that it can only help the Browns.
I think every team in the league would just kill for CeeDee Lamb.
How could you not? He's
9 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns last year. What's this year?
He's incredible.
15?
He's incredible. They need to pay that man his money. They need to do it.
Pay this man his money?
You know they need to do it, but it might just benefit the Browns.
You know that movie never did well in the theaters?
Yeah, I know. It was not. Across the board, it didn't do very well in many aspects.
It's a cult classic
now. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Same.
I get why it didn't do well, though, because I don't think the world at that point – I don't think it's a great in-movie theater movie. I just don't think it was made for that.
I never saw it in the theater.
I think it's made for, like, late night. Like, maybe you've been gambling a little bit. Yeah, you're hanging out. And then all of a sudden, here we go. Teddy KGB. Let's fire it up. What's Mike McDermott up to? I don't know. You know they're going to make a Rounders 2?
I do.
I'm sad about that because I love Rounders so much, and it's one of the few franchises I think they're just going to ruin. One of the few movies I think they're – I don't need to know how it ends for Mike McDermott. It ended for me when he got in the cab, made the proclamation that everybody that goes to Vegas is there because they believe they have a skill, and Vegas isn't for luck. It's a skill game. So in my head, he goes to Vegas, wins the World Series of Poker, and has a 25-year run as being one of the best poker players of all time. Anything short of that, and I'm going to just be upset. Because in my head, that's how the movie, mm-hmm. that's how they were setting us up, because he was supposed to be great. If it turns out he actually wasn't great and just struggles in Vegas, and then Worm has to come out to Vegas and, like, save
Worm.
Him or something. And then Worm gets into all sorts of games with the Russians and everything. I don't know that I love that ending. I don't know that I love that. But Matt Damon's great in just about everything.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
They won't screw it up. I promise. They better not. They better not. All right. We come on back. We got the Pulse. Kevin Stefanski, 620. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.